I would love to introduce you to my guest today, which is Kayla Heggie. Kayla is a mom of three, soon to be four, beautiful children. She has lived in Pennsylvania her whole life and has been an OT for over 8 years. She recently opened up her private practice in pelvic health in 2021, and her passion lies in helping pregnant and postpartum people not only heal from pelvic floor dysfunction, but to thrive and feel their best. I can't wait for you to hear today's conversation.
New and seasoned OTs are finding their calling in pelvic health. After all, what's more ADL than sex, peeing, and poop? But here's the question. What does it take to become a successful, fulfilled, and thriving OT in pelvic health? How do you go from beginner to seasoned and everything in between? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. We are inspired OTs. We are out-of-the-box OTs. We are pelvic health OTs. I'm your host, Lindsay Vestal, and welcome to the OTs in Pelvic Health podcast.
Kayla, thank you so much for being a guest on the OTs for Pelvic Health podcast. I'm really excited to get into our topic today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here and excited to chat.
So we're going to be talking about something that I'm not so sure we talk enough about, which is rectal balloon training and really like its role in pelvic health and how it can really help our clients. And I'm so appreciative that you're going to demystify this topic with me today. I think it just makes so much sense to just start off with, like, let's talk about what rectal balloon training is in a nutshell for those of us that may not be as familiar with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So rectal balloon training is basically what I consider a form of biofeedback and bowel retraining, basically to help improve the patient's normal sensation to have a bowel movement and improve the coordination of the rectum and the posterior pelvic floor and our breathing muscles to have a successful bowel movement. So it helps to improve patient awareness to basically the appropriate amount of stool in the rectum versus being hypersensitive and noticing the stool too early, or being hyposensitive and noticing it too late, or not noticing it there really at all. It can be really effective to help patients have successful bowel movements. Part of the training that we do is expelling the balloon after each treatment at different levels of air inside the balloon. Some practitioners will have patients do this while they're on the treatment table, but I like to have them use an actual toilet so we can practice the things we talked about, like breathing, posture, positioning, etc. And I find they feel a lot more comfortable practicing in the private bathroom that's attached to the treatment room versus, you know, laying there on the table. So that's kind of the general gist of the rectal balloon training. So I'm excited to dive into it.
Yeah, you brought up a really great point already, Kayla, which is it true that it's used for people who are both under aware and over aware, like hyper and hyposensitive to the sensation of stool filling the rectum?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So okay. That makes so much sense. So it can be used for a myriad of diagnoses. What in particular are you seeing in the clinic? Which diagnoses is it most helpful with?
So I find it helpful with really a lot of different things. I would say most commonly I would try it with patients who are experiencing fecal incontinence, fecal urgency and frequency, constipation, difficulty passing stool or fully emptying their bowels, and patients with dysenergic defecation. So they might have a paradoxical pelvic floor contraction, or an inability to fully relax the pelvic floor so they're not emptying efficiently. I also have used it with patients who have experienced perineal tears during birth. So usually those grades 3 to 4 that are impacting the anal sphincter. In general, these patients, like you said, are either typically hypersensitive or hyposensitive. So with the hypersensitive patients, a lot of times you'll see that with irritable bowel syndrome, basically patients who are experiencing a lot of urgency, frequency, feeling like they could just have bowel movements all day. And the goal for them is for them to be able to tolerate more volume of air with less urgency. And then for the hyposensitive patients, I see this a lot with constipation. Or they might have pelvic floor weakness. They might have higher pelvic floor tone. Their external anal sphincter might be impaired as far as that reflex, that sensation. And the goal for them is more increased sensitivities at lower thresholds, lower volumes of air.
That makes so much sense. Do you use it every session? So let's take, for example, a client who has had a perineal tear, potentially grade 3. Would you use the balloon training every session?
I usually will start with working with the patient, talking a lot about toileting habits, posture, breathing, diet, water intake, those kinds of things. And I will bring it up to the patient as a possible treatment tool. So I never do it, obviously at the evaluation or anything like that, but just telling them how it can be helpful for them. And when we do start the treatment, I usually do use it every session for, a certain amount of weeks, depending on progress and whatnot. But I don't always start with it. And also just looking at, not only those toileting habits and breathing and that kind of thing, but also making sure that they first are not overly tense in their pelvic floor, or, not having those severe paradoxical contractions, because when we're doing the training, it's important to have them be able to contract, relax, work with their coordinating their diaphragm and their pelvic floor. And if they're not able to do that, then we work on that first. I hope that answers the question.
Oh yeah. I mean, it sounds beautiful because it's just a tool and it's part of your arsenal, Kayla. It's part of the many things that as OTs in pelvic health we're already incorporating, and it just becomes yet another tool for brain and body, for muscle and brain to really be able to coordinate again. And, when it's internal like that, and when that feeling of either hyper or hyposensitivity happens, I would be hard pressed, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would be hard pressed to believe that there's really any other way that could as effectively help retrain your clients, in modulating the sensation, whether it's, underactive or overactive, than the balloon.
Yes, I totally agree with you. It's a really great treatment tool that, I would never use completely alone by itself, but with all the other things, like you said, that we work with our patients on. And I find it to be really effective for patients.
This is kind of a funny logistics question, but when you have your clients sitting on the toilet, which, by the way, I love that you do that. I love that you mimic the natural environment that's going to carry over when they get home. When they're sitting on the toilet, where does the balloon go? Do you have a hat in the commode? What's going on there?
Yeah. So the balloon is attached to a syringe. And I just, when they're ready, I just give them the whole syringe attached to the balloon and just let them know, you know, work on all of the things that we've been talking about as far as proper posture and breathing and lengthening of the pelvic floor. And they will hold on to that syringe so that the balloon doesn't actually fall in the toilet. But, and then I just have them, you know, maybe wrap it in a paper towel and bring it out to me. So yeah, it doesn't go in the toilet, but it, you know, they're practicing on the actual toilet so that they can have that real sensation of having a bowel movement.
I love it. I love it. You know, Kayla, would you be able to kind of step into some role playing now where I am your client and you're introducing this to me for the first time? I'd love to kind of model this for our listeners because it's one of those things where I have definitely heard, you know, I've had the pleasure of supporting close to 1,000 OTs in pelvic health, getting their start with my online course, OT Pioneers. And when we talk about balloon training, definitely one of the hesitations that comes up is like, gosh, how do I even talk about this as a possible tool in our treatment? Like, how do we introduce it? Would you mind giving us a little sample of how you do that in the clinic?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to let them know that, you know, this training it's non-invasive. It's not painful. It's really an effective and helpful tool to help retrain their bowels so that they can improve their toileting habits, but really overall just improve their quality of life. Because I find that these bowel issues and symptoms really can be life consuming for a lot of these patients. So I just tell them, you know, I will guide you every step of the way. You can absolutely stop treatment at any time. And I do let them know that they will feel the sensation that they need to have a bowel movement. That's the goal, but it's also very sometimes surprising and uncomfortable for patients. I've never had anyone actually have a bowel movement during treatment. It's usually the balloon comes out, you know, clean and everything like that. But just to let them know that this is an environment that's nothing is TMI, nothing is awkward. Yes, it is very up close and personal, but it's going to be really helpful for their improving their quality of life. So, you know, we use internal biofeedback to make sure they can properly contract, relax, lengthen their pelvic floor, that they have good coordination. So we've worked on all of that. So they're, you know, confident in their ability to follow those cues as we're working with the balloon, really incorporate their diaphragmatic breathing and just, you know, try to make them feel as comfortable as possible because it is, like I said, up close and personal and intimate, but an extremely helpful and effective tool to use.
Fantastic. Fantastic. When is it not appropriate to use this tool? Like can you give us an example of when you would stop treatment?
Yeah. So I wouldn't start this treatment if somebody had.
If you're enjoying the conversation with Kayla today about rectal balloon training, please know that every month in Pelvic OTPs United, I bring an expert guest just like Kayla to roll up their sleeves and help us understand how we can deepen our treatment options with our clients. In fact, in November 2023, Kayla is coming to Pelvic OTPs United to speak on this exact topic. In the show notes, you'll find a link to join us on this conversation. And also, Pelvic OTPs United has its own private podcast. I look forward to being able to support you at Pelvic OTPs United.
Severely impaired sensation in the rectum, or if they had really those paradoxical contractions. So sometimes patients will, when I'm doing my internal assessment and I ask them to contract and relax and lengthen and coordinate that with their breathing, it's initially, you know, completely opposite of what their pelvic floor should be doing. So using manual therapy, breathing, biofeedback to retrain that ability to properly contract and relax, also, you know, if somebody has really high tension or tone in their pelvic floor or severe scar tissue that's limiting mobility, I would do, you know, some manual therapy, again, work with breathing and that kind of thing to establish more normal levels of muscle tone in the pelvic floor. There's some contraindications also that you wouldn't want to do it with a patient. So if they had any, you know, acute things like active rectal bleeding, an active infection, active tumor, or if they recently had rectal surgery, I wouldn't do it, you know, unless or until they were cleared by their doctor. So those are some of the situations where it would either be best to delay starting the treatment or hold off altogether.
That makes a lot of sense, Kayla. In general, what are your goals of rectal balloon training? What are some of the things that you're really hoping to achieve? Perhaps both, if you don't mind answering the question in two parts, one for like an overactive rectum and then one for maybe an underactive.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of studies with norms for these rectal balloons as far as first sensation to have a bowel movement or first urge or maximum urge. I don't necessarily base my goals off of those norms, but more patient specific to improve functional gains, which, like you said, are different based off of if they're more hypo or hypersensitive. So for the hyposensitive population, more basically improved their spontaneous sensation to have a bowel movement. Again, most of these patients are constipated, so improving their frequency, but also just their ability to have a full bowel movement without straining. So those norms vary a lot too. It could be, you know, up to 3 times a day versus up to 3 times a week. And that's really patient specific. It's more about, you know, can you empty efficiently without having to sit on the toilet for an extended period of time, and without, you know, extreme effort. Whereas the hypersensitive population, it might be to decrease their fecal incontinence, to decrease fecal urgency and frequency. So just feeling like these patients often feel like their whole day is just based around having bowel movements or feeling that sensation that they're leaking and whatnot. So decreasing those episodes for them.
I really appreciate this conversation. I had a 3.5-degree tear with the birth of my first daughter, and, you know, it was a vacuum assist delivery. And I have to say that the rectal balloon training that I did was absolutely pivotal in my journey. I don't think I'd be the person I was today if I hadn't gone through that. So I can be a first testimony for this work and just how life-changing it can be.
Did you know that the 3rd annual OTs in Pelvic Health Summit comes with 1.6 AOTA-approved CEUs? Now, while the in-person event has sold out, you can still purchase the recordings for $100 off using the link that's in the show notes. We have a professional videography team coming in to capture every single moment of the summit, so it's the next best thing to being there. Pick up your $100 off tickets with 1.6 AOTA approved CEUs by going to the link in the show notes.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. It's amazing how, when you start talking about it, how, different people and patients, they're really, once they start feeling comfortable, it's kind of like, oh, okay, so this can be helpful for me, or it was very helpful. And, I have a patient very similar who had, you know, a similar tear, and we found it to be super helpful, not only for her bowel functioning, but also for her confidence in going into future pregnancies and births and deliveries. with managing, you know, not only the scar tissue, but her overall awareness of her pelvic floor and having an efficient bowel movement.
So I'm not sure if you know, but I have a course called OT Elevate, the biopsychosocial approach to colorectal conditions. I got my start actually in pelvic health because someone was willing to give me a job, even though there had been a job requisite out there specifically for PTs. It had been open for over a year. So as a result, my resume kept getting overlooked by HR because I didn't meet the core requirement of being a physical therapist, despite their longstanding need to fill this position. Well, I ended up circumventing HR and I went directly to the hiring manager who very promptly, I think it was like on a Thursday, very promptly said, come in on Monday. We're going to get started with you, which of course I was like beside myself giddy. But the reason they hired me was because the director really felt like OTs had incredible training in the biopsychosocial model. And she really believed that clients with bowel issues could really benefit from this model. Now, I believe that every client could benefit from this model, but I certainly understand, having gone through my own experiences, just how incredibly paramount that is. So I'm really grateful to have had that shot and to have had so much experience my first couple years in practice with helping this community and this population, or helping people with these types of diagnoses, I should say. And one of the questions that comes up as I'm helping people through my online course, OT Elevate, is how long does it take to get comfortable, right? So we all go to our weekend courses, and I know that this type of training would really be most beneficial to happen in person, I'm sure. And, you know, you work on a bunch of bodies and you practice, and then you show up to your job on Monday. I'd love to know, Kayla, like, what was your journey and what was your experience in getting comfortable with doing this on your clients?
Yeah. So first of all, that is an awesome story. It's so inspiring. I feel like as OTs, we're always, you know, trying to, in the world of pelvic health, trying to prove, you know, that we either fit in or we can do it. And really, it's such a wonderful niche for us to, you know, toileting, sexual functioning, you know, all of those things. It's just perfect in the world of OTs. And just, I think that's so awesome that you just went in there and did that and, you know, showed them this is actually the perfect position for me and I'm the perfect person to do it. But as far as getting comfortable with doing rectal balloon training specifically, I took a course through Herman and Wallace. It was a bowel course, and I actually just did a lot of self-study, I'll say. And then I did contact a pelvic floor therapist in the area who I knew had been doing this treatment. We met and had a wonderful conversation, and I just ordered a balloon for myself. And I was working with another pelvic floor therapist at the time. And she, you know, there was nothing TMI or awkward between us. So we practiced on each other. And it can be kind of intimidating, especially when that balloon goes in. And, you know, when you're practicing with the balloon right in front of you, you can see it inflating and deflating. And, but when the balloon is no longer visible, you have to know you're doing, you know, the syringe correctly and the stopper and all of those kinds of things. So just practicing on each other was really helpful. And just really getting to know that balloon really well before I actually used it with a client. So those are kind of the things that I did to help prepare myself.
And then what advice would you have, Kayla, for, you know, people listening to our chat today? It was like, okay, I've done those things and I'm still really apprehensive. As much as I recognize this could be a tool that will be life-changing for my clients, like what advice would you give someone who is still you know, a little bit apprehensive about trying it on a client despite their practice?
I would say, you know, just take a deep breath and see if the patient is open to it. A lot of times these symptoms are really overly consuming these patients' lives. And they're actually, any patient that I've brought it up to has been really more than willing to try it. So, you know, even if you might not feel the most comfortable in doing it, it's worth asking the patient. And again, they're more than likely going to say, hey, you know what, I'll try anything at this point, you know? And just take a deep breath, put one foot in front of the other, like you said earlier, and give it a go. And I find that, you know, even if the rectal balloon training specifically is, you're wondering, you know, is this effective? Is it working? Am I doing the right things? Those conversations and the educational pieces that you're having with your patients beyond the balloon training. So working on breathing and posture and talking about diet and toileting habits and retraining, those are all going to be helping the patient as well. So the patient will, you know, more than likely have great progress with what you're already doing, but then adding in that rectal balloon training is just kind of the icing on the cake.
I love that. Sometimes. I love that. Kayla, is there anything else that we haven't chatted about that you would love to share with our listeners about rectal balloon training work?
I would say just really thinking about each patient specifically and not getting too hung up on trying to achieve certain numbers or certain norms, and just really looking at the patient and how they're functioning in their day-to-day life and what their specific goals are. And I feel like as OTs, that's just our specialty, is just, you know, how can we improve you functional, how can we improve functionally and improve your quality of life? And, you know, that's sometimes looking beyond the numbers and the norms and, you know, just focusing really on the whole patient versus the technical aspects of the balloon training has been something that's been really helpful for me.
I love that you brought that up. I think that depending on our personality type, I think very often when we learn a new skill or learn a new tool, we can get very fixated on the parameters and the techniques. And as you said, the objective measurements, and those are really helpful. They're there for a reason. But I really do believe and encourage every practitioner in pelvic health out there to lean into the intuition of the client in front of you. And sometimes that means, you know, really focusing on that. And in my experience, especially with my clients in New York City and even in Paris, for me, it has actually been not focusing on those objective measurements so much, but really bringing the client back into their body in that really somatic way. Because at the end of the day, learning more about the way our body works and what tension feels like and what ease feels like and what coordination really is at the end of the day, what that feels like in that very interoceptive way, I have found is what translates best to function, because they're not going to have, you know, that data and the ability to have those measurements taken when we discharge them. So it's really being able to embody what function feels like. And for me and in my practice, that has most often meant not really always looking so much at those numbers.
Yes, exactly. I couldn't agree more. I usually, when I'm doing this, I don't even talk to them about their numbers. I just, you know, we talk about how are you feeling? What sensations are you feeling? You know, can you take a deep breath and relax that pelvic floor, as opposed to, you know, okay, we're at 40 milliliters, you know, that kind of thing. So I totally agree with you.
Well, Kayla, I am honored that you joined us today and really appreciate you sharing your journey with us. Before we hit record, both you and I were, you know, sharing a little bit about how being in pelvic health is really a lifelong journey. And, you know, feeling like you've arrived or that you're an expert, you know, I think is a very elusive term. And so I really want to applaud you for showing up today and sharing your wisdom with us, because at any point in our career, we're still evolving. But I think that I say this often, but I really believe that our clients are our best teachers. And by continuing to show up and just, you know, demystify the work that we're doing can help not only our clients so much, but ourselves and our colleagues who are on the fence and, you know, maybe not sure if they wanted to get into pelvic health. So I really appreciate our conversation today and you sharing your experiences with us.
Yes, absolutely. I am so honored and glad you asked me to have this conversation. And I hope it's helpful for, you know, those that are listening. And it's just been a really great experience and I'm grateful to be here.
I also want to mention that in November, you're going to be our expert speaker at the Pelvic OTPs United membership, which is my new membership community. We are off social media and we meet weekly to roll up our sleeves and really meet in a very curated forum to kind of, I don't know, really quiet down and learn more of our craft together. So I am super excited for you to come and speak to my members in November, Kayla. I'm excited and wish it was tomorrow, because you've already just inspired me so much with our conversation today. So I'm really grateful for your time.
Yes, absolutely. I am really looking forward to it as well.
Thank you for being a guest today, and I'll talk with you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of OTs in Pelvic Health. If you haven't already, hop onto Facebook and join my group, OTs for Pelvic Health, where we have thousands of OTs at all stages of their pelvic health career journey. This is such an incredibly supportive community where I go live each and every week. If you love this episode, please take a screenshot of this episode on your phone and post it to IG, Facebook, wherever you post your stuff, and be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode. This will help me to create in the future what you want to hear more of. Thanks again for listening to the OTs in Pelvic Health podcast.